for Robert Lemmy to adjust his headphones, and we're listening to Tom Petty, tribute, tragedy, great entertainer. Robert Lemley, our PI attorney, is a huge fan. All right, I think we have a caller. Caller, to whom am I speaking? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Oh, hi. Hi, caller. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. And to whom am I speaking?
Peter.
Hey, Peter. How are you? So we're kind of opening up the discussion to just about anything that's on your mind. So what can we help you with? What's up? What's going on?
It's in regard to the shooting in Las Vegas.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead. What are your thoughts?
It has to do with it was an article I was reading in today's paper that said that all the members of Congress stood up yesterday and had a moment of silence.
Uh-huh.
But there was one representative, and it turns out he was from Massachusetts, refused to stand up.
And I think you're originally from, are you originally from Massachusetts, maybe Boston?
Many, many, many years ago.
Okay. Where do you live now?
Redondo.
Ah, Redondo, a place I know well. Anyway, so go ahead, please. This sounds somewhat interesting.
He refused. His name is Seth Moulton, served in Iraq.
Okay.
And he said he's sick and tired of the moments of silence every time there's a mass shooting.
Okay.
He's sick and tired of it. I mean, most people's first reaction would be highly critical, but upon further reflection, he says that's all Congress does is they have a moment of silence.
Right.
It was only 5 years ago that there were like 26 elementary school kids in Sandy Hook that were murdered.
Right.
And they had a moment of silence.
Oh, good. And this is a congressman, Peter?
Yeah, he's a congressman. He's from Massachusetts.
Okay, Democrat?
And he refused to stand. He says because they do nothing, a moment of silence doesn't solve this problem.
No.
That's my problem.
All right, so what do we need to do about it? Should we turn this over to the...
Well, there has to be some sensible gun control, background checks. I have a gun permit, own guns, so I don't have a problem with Second Amendment rights, but between you and me, I don't think anybody needs to own an AK-47 or an AR-15 or a machine gun.
You mean you don't go deer hunting with an AK-47?
Yeah. People can have their guns. That's not a problem. It's people that buy high-capacity guns that are only used to murder people.
All right. Well, my theory...
And they're only used in the military.
My theory is until we get legislators that are not completely beholden to their constituents, I think we're going to have a problem. And I think
the NRA, unfortunately, influences all of their decision-making. And until they can free themselves from all of the money that the NRA gives them so they can get reelected every year.
Yeah, I think our panel kind of agrees with that.
They won't even allow something like as simple as a background check. I mean, who in their right mind could be opposed to a background check?
Or a waiting period before you can get your hands on
the guns. Yeah, I got background. Some psychotic person wants to buy an AK-47. It's okay. Or an AR-15. It's okay. We don't need to do a background check.
Any thoughts, panel? Well, we've kind of covered this already.
I think we're all in agreement,
Peter, but it's a very good call. Let me ask you another question. We're getting a little provocative as long as I have you on the phone. Are you a sports fan at all?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to throw this out because today is a free falling Tuesday. Today is the day that Stan Katzer, and so what's your problem, loses his show. No, I'm just kidding. What are your thoughts?
Is this like agenda free?
What are your thoughts on the NFL situation? Sound like a man that read the newspapers and watch sports.
I read the paper every day of the week. I watch...
You watch sports?
Watch football every Sunday, Monday.
Right. What do you think?
I'm opposed to... players taking a knee. I think they should stand for the national anthem.
Why is that?
Out of respect for the flag and what it represents.
Okay, let me throw this out. All right, let me just throw this out, be devil's advocate a little bit. And I want to ask the panel this. I'm going to put the panel on the spot. Jeffrey, Robert, and co-host Sarah. Seriously, what is your definition of patriotism? What's patriotism? And hold on, Peter, we'll see if we... If we get any answers, or our attorneys are talking to their clients right now on their cell phones. Now, seriously, what would you say is what's the definition of patriotism?
Well, I support the players taking a knee. I think they are standing for values that this country stands for. I think taking a knee is a respectful posture. It is not a disrespectful posture. I think they are exercising their right to object to inequality and racism in this country.
Is it the right arena or is it the right forum for that? Because here's a thought, again, just being devil's advocate, because I think you guys know how I lean on this. But someone is paying good money to go see a game, and it breaks into a protest.
Oh,
now, back to the thing of capitalism. Eventually, I think, and this has already happened with Fox Sports, is that it's hurting them in the pocketbook because a lot of fans at home are not watching. So ratings are down.
I think
Robert,
that also.
What do you think?
I'm a big NFL fan.
Right.
I watch a lot of ball. I'm even not watching as much nowadays.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with the kneeling.
Protest, yeah.
Go hockey, right?
Yeah. I'm watching more college ball.
Kings starts Thursday.
And what? It just because you don't like the game as much? Because ratings are down even before the kneeling.
The violence, first of all, is out of control. Uh-huh. I'm seeing hits that I've never seen before. The fact that there's no continuity on teams. Players are shuffling around. They're supposed to be representing a city, but they're here 1 year and gone the next.
Yeah.
College ball, at least you have a guy two, three years
and
a program to follow. That being said, it's still a great gladiatorial event that people in America love to watch.
Right.
You know, now as far as the kneeling and their ability to make a statement, well, we've put them on the pedestal. We've given them the platform to speak. And quite frankly, had the media not jumped on the story with Colin Kaepernick last year, we wouldn't be here today. But the media kind of created this.
Well, who really exacerbated the problem? I think the president.
Well,
look, 80%, and I mean 80 to 90% of this protest right now is against Trump. I don't care what anybody says.
Good point.
He opened his mouth with that insanity, with that insane thing he said, with SOBs and all that.
Yeah.
It's still an issue of race, though.
It definitely is. But I think it's exacerbated because of what he said.
Oh, absolutely. And it's become an objection to him.
Yes. Which he, by all accounts, appears to have some racism in his bones.
Yep.
just saying that.
And I think Robert
created that situation. It didn't exist.
Yeah.
He had one person. Maybe he had five people taking a knee. There's 1,700 football players, and you've got five, and then the president jumps in with an SOB.
Yeah.
And the ratings were the highest last week because everybody wanted to see whether
only
was
when the,
or not.
Yeah, but Peter, only for the anthem. Then the ratings go down. Yeah, the ratings. Yes, the ratings are way up that people want to see the anthem, even non-football fans. And then they turn it off. That's it.
The national anthem this past Sunday.
Fox Sport. Yeah, Fox said they won't even show the anthem. So, you know, it's a tough one, but I also think for the players, how about protesting municipalities, local police stations where there have been real social injustices, people getting murdered? You know, we've seen a lot of bad shootings against black folks. So I think there's a lot of ways to protest. We'll see how this thing evolves with the NFL because I don't know if it's getting better or worse, but yes, your thing about the ratings is interesting, but only for the national anthem because people want to see what's going on. All right, Peter, thank you very much for your thoughts.
So I'll just chime in again. Hockey season starts. You know, we're all, it's all good.
Go Kings go.
Go Kings go.
Peter, you're from Massachusetts. You play a little hockey.
I think he's gone.
He's gone. All right, forget about it.
I had a question pending for Jeffrey before we went to the break.
Oh, yes. Jeffrey, sorry.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm senile. I forgot.
Sarah's question was, this is supposed to be an at-will state. Can't we write something into employment agreements that actually lets employers fire when they need to?
Yeah, and essentially, because even if there is a reason for employers to fire, it seems like a lot of times they're afraid to do so because they're afraid that they're going to get sued, and most times they are, even if there's a legitimate reason to fire. So is there something that employers can include in contracts to mitigate, you know, to sort of say, well, okay, here are the reasons that I can fire you, and if I write you up for these reasons, that's it? Or, you know, is there something that they can do?
Well, first I'd say very few employees in California have employment contracts. Okay.
Interesting.
Most people, the vast majority of people do not have contracts. All right. Contracts are most common for executives. Somebody in at least a management or up position.
Would that be to the benefit of the employer to have some sort of contract so that there's some sort of definition of obligations on the part of the employee, on the part of the employer? Should that be something that's more prevalently done?
I don't think it's needed. Where there is a good reason for a contract, you can write in the grounds on which you can fire somebody, okay? And that's common. You just better write those grounds broadly and make the list long, okay? But for employees who don't have contracts, we're a big advocate in our firm of not of our clients not allowing themselves to be held hostage by their employees, not to be held hostage by the fear of getting sued if they fire someone, because that just cripples the ability to run a business. If you keep people on who aren't carrying their weight, there's a lot that can be done for an employer in helping them through the process of conducting performance reviews, disciplining, and preparing them to fire with a minimum of risk when the time comes.
Because I would imagine that being held hostage happens more often than not.
Employers are fearful. Yeah.
That is the employer mindset in California for good reason. Right. It's just very dangerous.
All right, we're coming against the break. Let me just say, you're listening to the great Jeffrey Thomas, and he can be reached at thomasemploymentlaw.com, thomasemploymentlaw.com, and also Robert Lemley at lemleylaw.com for the king of personal injury attorneys, lemleylaw.com. There's a reason why I'm driving that new Bentley out there. Just kidding. All right, we're not going to back down. Good job. We're back. Down.